I do have to cause you a little bit of empathy for Jason this morning. He woke up and his hard drive was fried on his computer. He didn't have any of his notes. He didn't have any of his PowerPoint. How would you feel if you woke up this morning and had to preach and that happened? But actually, Jason's got the message in his heart, and we were able to catch up on some of that. So
thanks, there bro. You go. Thank You're you. Welcome. Thank you. Nothing like a redirect, right? JR, thank you for redirecting us. Serious. Chemical burns in your eyes and in your ears for gathering together to do what we take for granted every Sunday. Right? This is little. The Word of God still exists. And it exists on paper. But what's important is that it exists in our heart. That it takes root inside of us and becomes part of us. That it changes the way we think and the way we operate, the way we have compassion, the way we pray, the way we love, the way we forgive. It's so much more important than PowerPoints, right? So much more important than having words on the screen so I can sound like I'm engaged with worship. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you're here in this room and been in worship when you've had to check yourself and go, I'm not even engaged in worship this morning. I'm going through the motions. But a morning like this morning helps bring us back to the basics, to the real, right? Thank you, JR, for that redirect. A couple of things I want to encourage you in this morning before I start into Seeds, the intro message part two this week before we hear from Leon next week. And then the following week on the 29th, we'll start into actual week one where our groups will be meeting together. There's a couple of things for you. I want you to decide with me this morning that you want to grow in your faith. That you don't want just some weeks to come by and Christmas to come and go, oh Lord. What if the Holy Spirit got a hold of you this morning, this week, and these weeks? And what if the Holy Spirit told you you could grow with him? You can grow with God right now. Last week, JR talked to us about the potential that's in seed. Each seed has a potential, right? And each of us sitting in this room has that potential that I'm talking to you about, that we could grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It really doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how old you are in Christ, how many times you've read through the Bible, how many messages you've listened to during the week. What matters is just you and God. You and God and the seed of the Word of God being deposited in you and transforming your life and renewing who you are. I want to encourage you to commit to grow, and I want to encourage you to grab one of these small group books out here, one of these participant guides, and seriously consider being in a small group. Would you grow with us for 6 weeks? We're doing this for 6 weeks here on Sundays. You'll hear messages that connect to your growth. And we can gather together in small groups over those 6 weeks and discuss what's going on. This week's content, I've already read and I've already been preparing for, and I'm like, really, there's no small group this week? This is great discussion. There's great things God's doing in my heart. And I want to share and hear others and what God's doing together. But more than anything, I want to see you grow in these number of weeks together with God. For your relationship, seriously, in 8 weeks to be different than it is right now. And I believe God's word is timeless. It doesn't matter how many times you've read the scripture that we're going to go through today. In Matthew chapter 13, God can always say something more to you. He's alive. He's active. He's pursuant. He wants to grow you, not let you be settled. This week, we're continuing to look at seeds, and seeds is a theme that runs from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis to the end of the book in Revelation. And today, I want to look at the process of seeds, the process behind what God's doing and what God's describing with these seeds and the types of soil in Matthew chapter 13. How many of you like to know the process behind things? Just tell me how it works. Isn't it nice to know a process and how things come together? And it just amazes you even more, doesn't it? It's amazing that something, some process happens and the end result comes out, but then you're really amazed when you know the process. We're gonna be looking at the process together this morning. All of us make decisions in life. There's so many decisions that we make. And if you're in this room at church on a Sunday morning, I'm guessing you've asked for God's input a time or two on decisions that you're about to make or that you have in front of you. And today we're also gonna be talking a little bit about being good decision makers. There's some key elements to the process about becoming good or being good decision makers. I think many of us have asked the question, God, what do you have to say about the time or what we're experiencing in my marriage right now? We have a high school senior who's gonna be graduating this next year. And I'm already asking questions of God about next year, preparing myself and wanting to help finish preparing her to be able to send her off and into the world or keep her close at home, whatever God's plan is, whatever he wants to do. But I wanna be engaged with God now and ask him questions now. But what about our jobs and our careers or big purchases or the direction of my life? God, where am I going? What do you have for me? Am I speaking to the right people? Do you ask those questions? I hope you do. And I hope it's not just of yourself, but it's including and engaging God in your life. The interesting thing about this scripture in Matthew 13, which we are going to get to, is that Jesus is starting with a seed, and he's talking about the primary character or individual in the story being a farmer, and he's making a connection that's very different, very out of the ordinary. This one is not just a parable, but it's a parable of parables. A meta-parable, it's called. It's a parable that's teaching us about parables. And it's a parable within a parable that's teaching us a truth inside of a difficult truth for humans to grasp or to get. It's not just about the process of a seed or the condition of a soul, the soil. It's about the condition of the soul. He's using a seed and an agricultural reference and parable to tell us really about hearing, about being able to hear God and hear what God's doing in our lives. How many of you enjoy chocolate? Raise your hand if you enjoy chocolate. Yeah, chocolate's a good thing, right? I mean, there are some desserts out there that don't need chocolate, but generally speaking, I would say my friend Ryan would not. I see that puzzled look on his face. No chocolate for Ryan. I'll take chocolate. Milk or dark? Show of hands. Milk. Hands down, dark. Nice. Nice. The darks would say, why pollute it and call it milk chocolate, right? Why add cream to it and make it milk? How about coffee? There's a number of you in here that like coffee. All right, how about tea? Any tea drinkers with me? Nice. Wow, more than I thought. Nice. How about vanilla to help round it out? Cole, that's you. No vanilla. All right, vanilla. Nice, good. All of it, all of those come from seeds. And I hate weeds. They come from seeds too, right? But there's some really good things that come from seeds. Jesus is connecting what he has to say about seeds and the process that are familiar to all of you in this room, he's connecting with our ability to hear. Though my wife's husband has ears, I'll say that again for you. Though my wife's husband has ears, sometimes he doesn't hear. I see husbands and wives shaking their head at that. though my wife's kids have ears, they don't always hear. Some of your pets have ears and they don't always hear, do they? Some of your pets only hear you. They'll only do what you say. I can't come into your home and tell them what to do. They really only listen to you. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we had this massive goat. Its back was like this tall. We had goats when I was growing up. And this goat was massive, big old head on it, with no ears. When he was a baby, his ears were frozen off. Daniel was his name. We called him Daniel. And he had no ears. No ears. And as a kid, I could look at his head. He'd put his head right down to you to love on him and rub right there at the same spot. And it's like his skin was transparent right there by his ear. And that goat had no ears. And I'm telling you, that goat could hear. Better than all the goats that didn't have ears, Daniel was so friendly and so engaging. We pulled a little cart behind him and he would do anything for you. He was such a pleaser. And such a kind thing. All to say, what we see on the outside isn't just what God sees. God sees on the inside. And he has some things to say to us about hearing. Jesus, like the prophets of the Old Testament, is telling something that he knows is difficult for people to be able to hear, for humans to hear. He's telling a challenging truth behind the story. Would you listen with me? I think they do have it on the screen, yeah. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Can we be done right there? That sounds pretty great, doesn't it? Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Wait, this is starting off pretty easy, Jesus. For bringing a challenging truth, something that you think is going to be really hard for us to hear. Verse 2 says, such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Even just that first line, there is a farmer who is sowing his seed. We're going to look in a second at who that farmer is. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed. Still other seed fell on good soil. Can you say good soil with me? Fell on good soil. Thank you. Great job. Love it. Where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. It produced a crop. Some of them didn't produce a crop. Again, we looked at that last week with JR, that seeds have potential and not everybody who has potential will reach that potential. Everything that has potential does not reach its potential. What's the difference? There's some things that Jesus is appealing to in our human nature in this agricultural story to still bring the hard truth that he is about to deliver. The rest of the other parable. Jesus is appealing to our human nature that wants to compare ourselves to others. You might be sitting there wondering yourself, what do I have? How many folds do I have? How many times do I have? Do I have 10? Do I have 30? Do I have 60? Do I have 100? Am I living a hundredfold life? And quickly we can find somebody, we can identify somebody and go, oh, I have more than them. But that's not what Jesus is trying to do. He's not trying to get us to compare ourselves to different dirt, different soil, or to different types of seeds. Again, from last week, or the different types or the quantity of fruit, he's asking us to evaluate ourselves. Jesus is also showing us the good, better, and best. Do you hear that? 30, 60, and 100. Good, better, and best. And I think that's an imperant in some of his other parables as well that are similar. The healthy approach is not for me to compare myself with others, but for me to evaluate myself with Jesus. To let Jesus look in and go, Jesus, really, what is this seed thing and this soil thing? What does it look like in my life? And he's asking us this question, really. Is it possible to get the soil in the right place that it will receive the seed in a way that it will produce its potential? Can I receive, can I hear from God in a way and follow God in a way, in a method that my soil produces what God intended to do with my life? That's a big question. It seems simple, it's seeds and they're scattered and there's rocky ground and it doesn't work out. For some, it does. Jesus is speaking deeper. Last week, the focus was on the seed and not the fruit. This week, we're focusing on this. To focus on the seed is to care for the soil. This week, we're saying to focus on the seed and what its potential could be, we have to care for the soil. He says, some of it fell on rocky ground. Talking with my friend Taylor this week, we were talking about the process and what happens to rocky soil. I just got to drive down to Bozeman this week and watch my senior high school daughter golf in Bozeman. And I was looking at all those wheat fields that Dean Folkford's family farmed for generations and for years, and the piles of rocks that are around there to form those absolutely beautiful wheat fields for nearly as far as the horizon is. There are a lot of piles of rocks. Those rocks had to come out. The soil had to be tended, had to be conditioned and ready to produce. And then he's just got such a business mind that he's like, well, what if we did something with the wheat? Why do we have to ship our wheat everywhere else? What if we produce and Wheat Montana comes about? Everyone's heard of Wheat Montana, right? Tastes pretty good. But they had to condition the soil of that area over by Three Forks. Good seed requires a healthy environment to grow. Before we go any further, I really want to read verse 9. This is what Jesus is really saying. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. He wants them to be able to hear the Father so much better. It's not just a story of what kind of seed I am, what kind of soil am I, It's Jesus trying to get face to face with each one of them in the crowd and go, Father wants to talk to you. I want you to be able to hear Father for yourself. But we know that decisions, just like a seed going down in the ground into a soil, and the seed has all this pressure put on it and has all these elements that it has to endure. It has to go down before it can come up. It has to have the right conditions. It can't be too acidic. It has to be conditioned just right. Though it's gone down deep into the soil and it's under pressure, there's a process that God has for that seed to come up and for it to grow, for it to germinate first. A delicate process of pressure, of water, of air, all those elements and nutrients to get that thing in a soft, tender way to break through the hard and to come up. And Jesus is looking at the crowd and he's saying in this story, in not as many words as it takes Jason, to say life's hard. Life hardens your soil. Life puts rocks in your soil, and I want to see them come out. I want to see you be good soil, because I've created you to produce not just good times, not just good memories, things that last in eternity, things that last beyond this earth, beyond the shell of a wheat kernel, but that produces something so much bigger. Here's a process I want to share with you. This is a process, at least one process, I believe, of how God speaks in our lives today, in our lives then. First of all, I want to encourage you, if you have a hard time believing, that's where you need to start. I want to encourage you, believe that God does speak. The God who created you, the God who created heavens and earth, spoke it into existence, and somewhere along the way, he spoke you into existence. And he still speaks today. I want to encourage you, if you've never heard him, if you once heard him, if you haven't heard him for a long time, I want to encourage you, believe that God still speaks today. He does. He absolutely does. And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to people as well. And then predetermined to fully submit to what God says. Turn your heart away from hard, rocky soil, sun-exposed soil. The earth wants to beat, or the world wants to beat down on your part of earth and harden you and crustify you and expose and scorch the things of God. But I want to encourage you to determine that you're going to follow God, and you're going to follow him what he says before he says it. It's a much healthier place to be than wondering, does God speak? Am I going to like what God has to say about me or what he wants me to do? And then number three is to filter it through the word of God. It's the primary way God speaks. I know many of us think it's through worship. When we're here and we can see the words on the screen and we're in worship, and is anybody with me? You're in worship sometimes and you just start hearing things that God's saying, he's encouraging, or he's speaking about someone else in the room. But it's not just that way. God does the similar to me when I'm in the word. He brings some of you to mind when I'm in the word and what you're going through. The Old Testament is not outdated. It's old, but it's not outdated. The New Testament is fresh and new, though it's 2,000 years old. It is still fresh and true revelation today. But then we get to discuss it with trusted voices. And lastly, we're going to continue taking steps while remaining open. Not all things happen in an instant. Some seeds take a long time. A mustard seed in particular takes such a long time to become such a massive, massive, reputable tree. It takes a while. It takes a process. And I want to continue to remain open to what I hear God speaking and saying in my life. How do we create healthy environments to hear from God? I'm going to try and cover these quickly. The first one is we admit and overcome our own bias. I really want to bring this before you. We all have a ton of bias. We all come from different circumstances and situations that are attempting to speak truth to us. And it's not all true. It's not all true. The thoughts, the feelings, the rejection, the hurt, the words of others, from others, my past experiences, though they've happened, I don't want to deny those things that they haven't happened, but they don't have the power to reveal truth to me. They're not all accurate to the word of God. Things happen on the earth all the time to us and to others that are not godly, that are worldly, that are meant to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy who's attempting to be as determined as God to steal, kill, and destroy every seed, beginning and in the end. And yet God's love and preservation and protection over your life is trying to connect you to the real truth of God. That's the word of God. That's submitting and agreeing with whatever God says, whatever God leads, the way God says to do it is the way I want to do it. Cognitive bias definition is this: the way a particular person understands events, facts, and people based on their own particular set of beliefs and experiences that may not be reasonable or accurate. Does that not sound like your world and my world and our world today? It does to me. We all have different kinds of bias, and all of them impact our ability to hear from God. And I believe they hang up our ability to hear from God. And I know that God wants to undo those biases that we hold on to, like dirt that we think still has potential the way it is. Like taking the old pot that's been sitting out in the backyard for 5, 6, 10 years and thinking, oh, now I'm into tomato plants. Now I'm gonna put a seed in that pot and I wanna see what comes from it come August. And God's sitting back going, yeah, it's dirt. That's a seed. But that's not the best to grow 30 or 60 or 100. We need to tend the soil. We need to take care of the soil. The seed is the word of God. The seed is Jesus Christ. I'm the vine and you are the branches, right? He's the one that lays down his life. And he's the one who resurrected and came out that we would have life. And life more abundantly. Jesus is the seed, and the word of God is the seed. And Jesus is trying to tell them, those who have ears, please hear me in what I'm saying. It's not just about the soil, or the seed. It's about you, and it's about your soul, and it's about your mind, and it's about your opinions. Oh man, we come to church with opinions. And the more we experience different churches, the more opinions we have about churches. And I think every once in a while, God's like, stop having your opinions about church and how long worship goes or how well they lead or how well they don't communicate and hear me. Could we just be face to face in church today, you and I? I think Jesus is standing before the crowd like that and saying, those who have ears, let them hear. What a proclamation. Now I'm a little uncomfortable. It's not just about a seed hitting the soil. Whoa, Jesus. A parable within a parable. Number two, we evaluate our busyness. We've been talking about this quite a bit for quite a while with Mark Spencer, our friend Mark Spencer, who's been with us and just trying to get us to evaluate our busyness. I want to encourage you to keep doing it. If you can clear some space out and some time with your family, with your spouse, with God, with your attention away from the news and politics and issues and stress, you'll do yourself well. Whatever that looks like to you. But don't just continue in the rat race of busyness. Oh, I'm busy, oh, I'm busy. I try not to say that, and I still end up saying it. And I wanna rid that of my life, because busyness is not potential. Busyness is not potential, but busyness is also not God's process. Just being busy and doing things and being super involved and very active does not equate to potential, does not equate to 60 or 100-fold. And number three, we believe God's working even when we can't see it. Even when the seed's down below the surface, even when there's no fruit on the vine, does not mean that that vine cannot produce fruit. What does the soil need? What does the soil need? What do I need, God? I'm your soil, you're the seed, and you are planted in me. How do you want to produce with my life? Here's a promise to close with. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says of his own word, of his own seed, of Jesus Christ, who is the word, he says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." It will happen. He has a process. And part of it is me believing in that process, not resisting it, not fighting it, not trying to alter it, but to cooperate with it, to give into it, to believe. Some of you go, my garden's so all over the place, or it's been so abandoned for so long, I haven't tended to this or to that. I feel so distant from God. I feel like I haven't heard from him in a long time. I've had those feelings too. But I still believe in the process. God has a process and is guarded by promises that say, the seed I have planted will produce. It will grow. And you've made a huge step by even being here on a Sunday morning to engage with God, to engage in worship, to engage with other believers, by being here and hearing the word of God. Emerson gave us a quote that I want to leave you with. It says, "The creation of 1,000 forests is in 1 acorn. We don't have acorns around here. If you have one in your backyard, I don't know of it. But I grabbed a pine cone. The idea that, again, an acorn or a pine cone, we have many pine cones who are loaded with lots of seeds, can generate so many forests and can produce so much. God created it, and God created this pine cone for me to grab out of my backyard, to use an example this morning, to say each one of you has potential. We said that last week, but I want to reinforce the potential of this pine cone is also paired with the soil that it lands on. It's paired with the potential of the soil to do the right thing for the seed of Jesus Christ and the word of God that's in our lives. I want to encourage you to grab a guide with us this morning on your way out, $10 on your way out. Grab a guide. Consider joining us and being a part of a small group and talking about these seeds and our soil and the process of God in our life and the potential that we have, not just as individuals, not just so I know more than anybody else or that I already know, but to lay down our biases, to lay down opinions, and to go, "God, I want to grow with you in these next few weeks. I want to grow with you." Amen? Amen. Thanks, JR.
All right, thank you, Jason. Would you give Jason a hand this morning? Well done.